In Play Radio, from hockey to hockey, we've got it covered.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Darts Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by John Gwynn on the line to look ahead to the Players' Championship taking place at Butlins Minehead. Kicks off on Friday. Certainly a very interesting tournament. That the way that the seeds are worked out is certainly a little bit different. But nevertheless, we've got some cracking action to look forward to. And as I mentioned, I'm joined by John to preview it. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Alex.
How's things?
Very well, thanks. Yes, I had a great night last night with Adrian Lewis and Andy Hamilton, comparing a show with them at Stoke City's football ground. And Asmir Begovic and Ryan Shawcross participated as well. We had a tremendous night, great crowd, and a great darts evening.
Oh, good to hear.
Yeah.
As I said, we're going to look at the Players' Championship. Different in the sense that there's 32 players, firstly, a knockout round, but different in that the seeds are worked out from the order of merit, meaning that on this occasion, Phil Taylor is ranked, I think, 19th seed. Could prove slightly troublesome, perhaps, in the later rounds. He may not have the easiest passage, would you say?
Well, of course, in a sense, it's very similar to the UK Open, where players are seeded according to their earnings in the UK Open qualifying rounds, 8 qualifying rounds going into that. There are many more qualifying rounds in the Players' Championships, which are held on a fairly regular basis, away from the television screens. And, of course, Phil Taylor and one or two other prominent players don't always feature in those rounds. And therefore, obviously, if they don't feature in those rounds, they can't earn anything. And so it might seem that the seedings are a little bit sort of awry. But, in fact, it's the fairest way of doing it. It's based purely on the Players' Championships over the last year. And so we have the situation where Mr. Taylor is at 19. I'm sure he's not particularly concerned. He's in brilliant form at the moment. And, he has a chance of winning it wherever he's seeded, doesn't he?
He does indeed. Okay, we'll run through the outright betting for the tournament. Phil Taylor is in as the favourite at 10-11. Adrian Lewis and Michael Van Gerwen at 6-1. Then we've got 20-1 for Simon Whitlock, James Wade and Raymond Van Barneveld. 25s Gary Anderson and Dave Chisnell. And 33s or bigger the rest. The form that Phil Taylor's in at the minute, John, it is pretty hard to oppose him. But if you had to put your money down here, where would it go?
Well, the beauty of this particular competition is that it is over, as the Players' Championships themselves are, over best of 11 legs, and that is a very, very short game for all of these players, but particularly for the top players. And sometimes if they take a little time to get into gear, they can find themselves 2 legs down, 3-1 down, and having to fight and scrap. And so there's scope for more surprise results, and I put surprise in inverted commas, because of course all the players in this competition have genuinely qualified and they're thereby right, and therefore are all very good players. But yes, it lends itself, by very nature of the size of the games, to shocks and surprises. Plus, of course, this event is played just over, literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Minehead. And to get from 32 down to a winner in such a quick time means that the rounds by nature have to be short, or the games have to be short. But that is the nature of the Players' Championship. They play best of 11, and wherever they're held, and they're held in Ireland, all over the UK as well, And they even have a round in Gibraltar. I think there might even be one in Germany and one in Holland. And so the players have earned the right by travelling to these events to be in this competition. And I reiterate, some of the players have a lower ranking than you would expect because they haven't been to every one of them.
Hmm. Okay, then. So would Taylor be the pick there, then?
Well, of course, on current form, it's impossible to ignore him. But unlike the William Hill Grand Slam of Darts, and unlike the World Championships, which, of course, are the next event in a few weeks' time, there is the potential for shock results. I know I'm repeating myself, but I have to emphasise that. And therefore, he is not as big a certainty, if I can put it that way, than he would be or will be for the World Championship and was for the Grand Slam.
Okay, that's fine. So would you be willing to take the 10 to 11? Or if you had to put an outright bet, I'm going to push you here, John. Would you be looking for... I mean, at William Hill, we can get each way half the odds for first and second. Would you be willing to take a chance on maybe Adrian Lewis or Marco van Gogh to potentially get to the final and reward each way punters? Or would you be on the nose on Taylor?
I think, given the nature of this competition, given the fact that Phil Taylor hasn't been to every single event, whereas Michael van Gogh and Adrian Lewis have been to virtually all of them, not that that affects their form over the weekend, but I just have a feeling that 10 to 11 is too short for a competition like this. And therefore, I would just sway from backing Phil Taylor on this occasion and go for an each-way bet. And obviously, the way that Adrian Lewis played, even though he lost to Taylor in the semi-final of the Grand Slam, the way he played, you've got to go with him. And... you've also got... Now, you can never ignore the likes of Michael van Gerwen, but, you know, this competition in the past has been won by Kevin Painter. It's been won by Paul Nicholson. And I think that illustrates what I've been saying. The nature of the competition lends itself to somebody coming through on the blind side. And therefore, it makes it difficult, necessarily, to predict. But I would be inclined to go for somebody like Dave Chisnall, who recently won his third Players' Championship event. And this kind of competition, the shorter game, I think suits a player who can go up there and smack in five or six really cracking legs on the row, in the row, and Chisnall can do that. They can all do that. But I think that it suits the likes of Dave Chisnall, who can fire rapidly and really effectively over the shorter distance to great effect. So look at the type of player like that. And I'd be inclined to say, yes, a little each way bet on Dave Chisnall and another one on Michael van Gerwen and one on Adrian Lewis, rather than 10 to 11 Taylor.
Okay, then. Van Gerwen and Lewis available at 6 to 1. Dave Chisnall, I should say, a massive 25 to 1. So certainly some value to get your teeth stuck into there. We are going to look at 8 games that are taking place on Friday evening. Of course, the competition kicks off on Friday. We've got 8 on Friday afternoon. The likes of last year's runner-up Kim Hoybrook's getting his tournament underway against Terry Jenkins. We've got Gary Anderson against Stuart Kellett, as well as some others. But we're going to focus at the games on Friday evening. 8 to look forward to, and we'll kick off with John Part against Andy Hamilton here, John. Part is 2 to 1, Hamilton at 4 to 11.
Yes, and I was saying I was with Andy Hamilton on Tuesday night, and he actually beat Adrian Lewis 6-3 in their challenge at the end of what was a fabulously entertaining evening. And they did take it seriously, and he said, this is, you know, we've had fun all night, but this is a proper game. It's best of 11. It's what we're going to be playing at Minehead. And he's taking it seriously. He threw really well. Lewis hit an 11 darter, but Hamilton beat him 6-3. And he's another one you might want to consider as an each-way bet. I do fancy that he will get the better of John Part, but John Part is quite capable of putting in a sudden surge of fine legs of darts, and I apply this to most of the players in this competition, and therefore the best of 11 makes it more difficult to be confident in your decision. But Hamilton, I think, will do Part. I think he'll be first to six. You don't have to win by two clear legs or anything, so I reckon 6-3 or 6-4 for Hamilton, and so much can depend on who wins the ball in the shorter game. We don't know who's going to be throwing first, and that can often obviously have a bearing, because in a very tight game, and there are going to be a number of 6-5s, rest assured, out of the 16 first round games, there'll be several 6-5s. And the outcome might well be determined by who wins the bull in the end. But I'm taking Hamilton to go through.
Okay, then, Andy Hamilton, the pick there in the opening game. What score would you go for if you had to be pushed on that, John?
Always dodgy, this, but 6-4.
Okay, 6-4. The next game that we'll look at is Simon Whitlock taking on Justin Pipe. Pretty fascinating contest, this. Whitlock at 8-15 and Pipe at 11-8.
Yeah, on his home territory, isn't he, Pipe? Somerset lad. He'll be able to walk to Minehead, I would think, from Taunton. Well, it's a bit more than he'd certainly catch a bus. It's a tough one, because we know that Pipe is a difficult customer, and Simon Whitlock has not had the best of times lately. He's going to come out of that slump. Pipe himself hasn't been at his best. And so in a way, you've got a game here with two players who are slightly out of form. In the end, though, I always tend to go for the player who has past pedigree. And I think you've got to say Whitlock is the one with that, rather than Pipe. Although Pipe will win a tournament one day. But Whitlock for me, I think it'll be tight. Might even be 6-5.
Okay, then, Whitlock the pick there. The next game that we'll look at is Robert Thornton. He takes on Richie Burnett. Thornton 3-10 and Burnett 12-5 here, John.
Yes, the Battle of the Celts, Scotland against Wales, and very similar characters, very similar dart players. Both players will feel that they can win this game. Richie Burnett has a really good game of darts in him, and Robert Thornton, of course, has done really well over the last couple of years. And I would expect Thornton to be able to take this one. This might be one where, you know, you get one of those little surprises, although it wouldn't be too big a surprise if Burnett were to win. But I've got to go with the Scot. I think he'll probably win with a little bit in hand, and that means, therefore, 6-3 or 6-4.
Okay, then, Robert Thornton there. The fourth game that we're going to preview is Mervyn King against Raymond Van Barneveld. King at 6-4, Van Barneveld 1-2. One of the more intriguing contests of the round, this, John.
Yes, and you know, as you read it out, I sense the outsider winning this. Barney hasn't been hitting it. He, of course, was knocked out of the Grand Slam, defending the title he won in 2012. And I'm not sure that Barney's fully tuned up, but I feel that Mervyn King might be. He's had some really good results lately. And the signs are that King has now got older over his elbow injury, that he's looking more like the Mervyn King who, let's be honest, reached the final of the Premier League back in 2009 and has been in two World Championship finals. Now, I know Barney's been World Champion five times. I just think King will do this one. I really do. I think Barney's head might drop, and I'm going to take King to go through 6-4, 6-5.
Okay, then, Mervyn King, the outsider of the two there at 6-4, but certainly a bit of value in that game. The next one that we'll look at is Adrian Lewis against Kevin Painter. Lewis at 2-9, Painter at 3-1.
It's amazing that somebody can be 2-9 over such a short distance. But I think it's somewhat justified. Anybody who saw that game at Wolverhampton, where Lewis, with a 110 average, lost, would realise that he is a very special talent. And I think Kevin Painter is a rather different player now to the one who won this event 3 years ago. And I think, therefore, that Lewis will win. I think he'll put on the style and have Kevin Painter head shaking fairly early on. And I think that Lewis will go through 6-2 or 6-3.
Okay, Lewis, a very confident pick there in that one. Next up, I mean, you weren't crazy about the 2-9 about Lewis there. You won't like the next two games, I don't think, John. We've got Paul Nicholson against Phil Taylor. Nicholson 11-2, Phil Taylor 10-1 on.
Yes, and that's not surprising, is it? Again, there's always a risk, but less so with Phil Taylor. And Paul Nicholson, a former winner, famously said that he was going to do Taylor en route to winning that in 2010, and did so in the semi-final. Did brilliantly. And then beat Mervyn King in the final, I think it was. Anyway, he won't be doing Taylor this time. Phil Taylor is still playing magnificent darts, we know. Won the Grand Slam in style. And did have a few bob, as you know. I've got to take Taylor to win this game. I'm not suggesting he'll find it comfortable, because you can only win at very best by six legs. I think he'll win by 4-6-2.
Okay, then, Phil Taylor there. The penultimate contest that we'll look at is Michael van Gerwen taking on Jamie Lewis. Van Gerwen 10-1 on, Lewis 11-2.
Yes, a big ask for Jamie Lewis, one of the up-and-coming young players. And the very fact that he's here in the tournament playing against the likes of Michael van Gerwen shows that he's been fairly consistent on the pro tour, the professional circuit, and having qualified for this event. But Michael van Gerwen is smarting a little bit, you know. He's gone off the boil. He hasn't been getting the success that he enjoyed over a near 12-month period, including, of course, as we all know, the World Grand Prix in Dublin, a finalist both at Wolverhampton against Ray Barneveld in 2012, a finalist in the World Championship against Phil Taylor, and a real star. So expect Van Gerwen to fire here. And Jamie Lewis, lovely lad, will do his best, but he's not going to be good enough against Van Gerwen. I'm taking Van Gerwen to win this 6-3.
Okay, then the final game that we'll look at is Dave Chisnell coming up against Jelle Klaassen. Chisnell 5-2 on, with Klaassen in at 7-4.
Yes, and credit to Jelle Klaassen. He was out of the game for a couple of years, and disciplinary action, I won't say any more than that. And he's come back. Not many people thought that he would play sufficiently well to make it into these finals, which is what they are when all said and done. But he has done, and I saw him in one of the Players' Championship events, one of the early ones, and I was very, very impressed with his throwing. So Jelle Klaassen is back. But I've tipped Dave Chisnell as an outside bet for this, as you know. And I've got no reason to change my mind. He recently won a Players' Championship. It was the third one he's won in his short career with the PDC. We know he can blow hot and cold. So can Jelle Klaassen. So expect anything, really. It'll certainly be fast and furious. And even if it goes 6-5 either way, it'll be over in 20 minutes. Certainly half an hour. And I've got to take Chisnell, and I think Chisnell will probably win by a couple of legs, 6-3, 6-4.
Okay, then, Dave Chisnell, the pick in that final game. Great stuff, John. Thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the selections. We're going to try and take Phil Taylor on here. It might be the wrong thing to do, but certainly a couple of value picks there. Yeah, so thanks very much, John, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much, Alex. All the best, everybody.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.